from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State via the Michigan Talk Network on our website, all over the world, wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. All kinds of great stuff. If you're looking for a suppressor, if you're looking for everyday carry, maybe you're looking for accessories or ammunition or knives or whatever the case, whatever you're looking for, Not Just Guns has it there in stock with a great friendly, and I emphasize friendly, staff that they will be happy to help you. And they got a great website as well, notjustguns.com. You can navigate that through our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Also pick up on our friends at Conquest Sense, makers of Evercalm and VS1, and of course, the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Find their website and find out the truth about CWD at their website, thetruthaboutcwd.com. All of that great information on there. Had a great first hour of the show. Looking forward to another great hour of this show as we move into August. Would like to welcome Dennis Eade from the Michigan Steelhead and Salmon Fishermen's Association. Dennis, a first time for you and I to talk, and a first time for anybody from your organization to be on the show. How are you, sir?
Terrific this morning, and we appreciate the opportunity to participate.
Absolutely. Great. Good to have you here. We're coming up into August, and I mean, look, man, I've been watching the Michigan Charter Boats Association Facebook page, through our Facebook page. There's been a lot of great fishing, a lot of great steelhead, some kings coming out of the big waters, a lot of lake trout this year, which has been really cool to see. Despite the fact that we had a slow start to get out, people are finally able to get out on these charters, enjoy the fishing with the charters and as recreational anglers. And that is so important to us here in Michigan. It's so important to your group as well. Tell me a little bit about the Michigan Steelhead and Salmon Fishermen's Association.
Well, very quickly, Duran, we're a product of the times. We were created as an advocacy organization back in 1971. Dr. Tanner, who was the director of the DNR at the time, and his fishery chief, Wayne Toady, felt that introducing Pacific salmon was going to be such a revolutionary event that they needed a group to ensure that the public learned how to fish these new species, but also provided protection and allowed a group to supervise how regulations were established so that we wouldn't either overfish them or endanger property values. And we made sure we policed folks, didn't let them litter, and encouraged them to be respectful in getting out and pursuing salmon and steelhead trout.
You know, it's been so fun since we started the show. I mean, look, I'm a lifelong Michigan resident. I've been hunting and fishing my whole life, but never until this show did I really get into in depth about some of the resources and some of the organizations that are out there. And even as long as we've been doing the show, this is the first time we've actually been able to have you on, and it's good to learn of this group as well.
Well, I appreciate that. We're very strong. We're in 12 major metropolitan and rural areas, all the way from Alpena to St. Joe, Detroit to Traverse City, big chapters in Grand Rapids and South Haven and Holland. So we're all over the state.
Now, the resource itself, I mean, it's had its ups and downs. We've watched a lot of good things happen. We've had some bad things that we thought were going to be detrimental to the resource that turned out to be okay. I want to go back to, well, to about the time I was coming into being born. But when the alewives were going to be the downfall of the fishery in the Great Lakes, and then when they started disappearing, we kind of panicked because there goes the food source.
Exactly. We experienced the introduction of an invasive species, and they are the quagga mussels. And the quagga mussels filter the plankton out of the water, which is the food source for prey fish like alewives. And it had a dramatic impact on the level of alewives in the lake, and actually threatened Lake Huron in 2004, and we saw Chinook salmon virtually disappear from that Great Lake, and most of the fish that were left moved into Lake Michigan. So, yes, these are scary times, and the ecological system is threatened by invasives, including potentially big head carp from the Asian carp from the Illinois.
Now we've been watching that very closely as well since they started making their way. And again, Dennis, speaking with Dennis Eade from the Michigan Steelhead and Salmon Fishermen's Association, this all could, you know, not until it becomes a severe threat to the Great Lakes does it seem to become an issue. I mean, this whole thing, these fish were cleaner fish for people was down in Arkansas. By way of flooding, they entered the river systems. So why all of a sudden does it become our problem when this could have been stopped years ago?
Oh, absolutely. We should never have imported them to begin with. Species that come from other parts of the world typically don't have predators in a new system when they enter it. And that creates a real problem for overproduction and threatening other natural species that we do have in the environment.
You know, we saw the same thing with the different goby species. And again, fortunately, Mother Nature has taken and kind of flipped the tables on that. What we thought was going to be a huge issue has become a food source for lake trout, for smallmouth bass that are getting huge on these things in Lake St. Clair. Again, I really would have preferred them not to come into our ecosystem at all, but it's turned out to be somewhat beneficial to the, you know, to the population because it's another food source and we're getting some monster fish out of these things.
You're absolutely right. And I'll tell you, the quality of the lake trout since they've been feeding on gobies is so much better. Alewives have a chemical in their makeup that threatens the thiamin balance in lake trout and causes the eggs to have very soft shells and to the point where natural recruitment is threatened if lake trout don't have another source of food. And the gobies have provided that source. They've also prey on the mussels that are on the bottom of the lake, and if that's the case, then that's a double benefit that we have with gobies. The problem, though, is that salmon and trout and steelhead are pelagic fish, meaning that they feed in the water column. They don't go down and feed on the bottom. And so salmon have not learned to take advantage of that food source, and that's why they continue to be threatened and why our ecosystem is so fragile for Pacific salmon.
It is Dennis Eade is our guest here. He is with the Michigan Steelhead and Salmon Fishermen's Association. And I tell you what, you've really added a new element because a lot of times we talk about, you know, about the fishing tactics and things of that nature. But the balance of the ecosystem is something that sometimes we don't think about as much. We always think about when we're out because it affects on how we fish. But in everyday conversation, it's not really coming up. And when we come into the next segment, we're going to talk more about yet another threat to our fishing as recreational sports persons here in Michigan. So, Dennis, if you don't mind hanging on, I appreciate it.
I'm here.
All right. We're going to find out more what's going on here in just a few minutes with Dennis Eade of the Michigan Steelhead Salmon Fishermen's Association in Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State, all over the world, on our podcasts, on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. We've been keeping tabs on a group kind of wanting to shift things. The commercial fishing industry in Michigan wants to expand their what they catch and their limits, but yet they don't want to put into the resource what Michigan and out-of-state anglers are putting into the resource by the billions we put in through licensing, through travel, through a tackle, through you name it, excise taxes, all of that, okay? That's the commercial fishing industry in general. And now we learn of a new possible threat through commercial fishing, through the native tribes, with a decree that is sent to expire here this August, this month, like on the 8th, like very soon. And this is why we brought Dennis Eade from the Michigan Steelhead Salmon Fishermen's Association on the show. Because, Dennis, this is not something I have known about. It seems almost kind of quiet and under the radar. My good friend Steve Gruber from the Steve Gruber Show here on the Michigan Talk Network calls me up, says, hey, I had Dennis on. You might want to look at this because it could change the complexion of fishing in the Great Lakes industry and really kind of damage it without any kind of monitoring.
Absolutely, Duran. The reason it's been under the radar is that for the last 35 years, we've had an amicable relationship with tribal fishers. And it all goes back to 1985 when the federal court ruled that the tribes that make up the five different nations in northern Michigan had the right to fish in the waters of the 1836 treaty. But the court also required the tribes to sit down with the state because the state was going to be put in charge of managing the fishery and the resource. And so the court said, we want you to develop a consent decree that provides the regulations for how the shared resource will be allocated. And it was a very successful negotiations, even though it took almost a year and a half, practically 2 years. But the principle was that it would be 50% for tribal fishers and 50% for recreational fishers when it came to lake trout harvest. And lake trout is basically the fish that was natural to Michigan and provided the recreational fishing source that we had at the time. Now, for 35 years, we've benefited from that consent decree. It was renewed in the year 2000. But on June 24th, four of the five tribes, the state of Michigan and the United States, asked a federal court to extend the 2000 Great Lakes consent decree that expires on August 8th to the end of 2020. One of the five tribes, the Sioux tribe, Sault Ste. Marie tribe of Chippewa Indians, is no longer willing to share the resource and has filed a request with the federal court to extend a decree only until November 8th. The tribe asserted that after that date, it will be free to fish without geographical restrictions anywhere within the treaty waters. And that's basically from Grand Haven, Michigan, all the way Lake Huron, just south of Alpena. So, though not explicitly stated in their filing, it's reasonable to assume that the Sioux tribe seeks to use any gear they deem necessary, such as gill nets, in those zones that have not allowed such gear since 1985. And basically, that threatens the way we fish in Michigan. Gill nets are indiscriminate killers.
Mm-hmm.
They capture and kill anything that swims into them. And that means that steelhead trout, salmon, or
I mean, you've got walleye, you've got whitefish, you've got perch, smallmouth, largemouth. Anything that swims, essentially, is subject to a demise via the gill net.
You're absolutely right. It's not a way that people should harvest the resource. It's just too indiscriminate.
So I'm assuming there are proceedings in place to hopefully stop that. Now look, I understand their position as a sovereign nation here in the state. At the same time, protecting a resource in general, I think, should kind of go above and beyond that, because it affects everyone, not just one particular group. And funny how we see a lot of that going on elsewhere, but I digress.
I think that what has happened is we've benefited so well. I mean, sport fishing has created a $2.3 billion industry in the Great Lakes Basin, and that's prosperity for tackle manufacturers, boat builders. It's an incredible resource. In fact, we have over 300,000 people that travel to Michigan every year for fishing tourism. We're second only to the state of Florida in attracting out-of-state fishers to our wonderful resource. I think it's the best freshwater fishery in the world, basically. And we don't want to lose that. We want to continue to preserve it for everyone.
No, I agree. Dennis Eid is joining us here, Michigan Steelhead and Salmon Fishermen's Association. And there is a way, if we would like to help in this, in your fight to preserve this, on your website, you have a donation button for the Michigan Steelheaders, .org is the website. And you can find that button on there as well, if you'd like to go donate to help with the money that you need to raise, because this isn't going to be cheap, and then nobody's just going to hand you the cash.
No, we're set a goal of raising $20,000 for our legal fund, and we have an excellent team of attorneys working on this and representing us at the negotiations table. We want to raise $20,000 by October 16th, and if people will go to mssfa.org, and click on the Share the Resource fundraiser button. They can give 5, 10, 15. We had one gentleman a couple of days ago give 500. That was amazing.
Wow.
It does ensure that we're going to have the best representation when it comes to finally getting this consent decree preserved. So I encourage your listeners to take a minute, go to the website, check it out, and share with us the opportunity to ensure that sport fishing remains viable in the Great Lakes Basin.
Well, Dennis, we appreciate your time and sharing this information with us. Dennis is the executive director for the Michigan Steelhead and Salmon Fishermen's Association. Thanks to our good friend Steve Gruber for passing along that information. Now, I tell you, Dennis, we're going to look back on this year one of these days and just shake our heads and go, did it really happen? But for now, we got to bring the information while we have it. And thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Thank you, Duran.
Absolutely. Dennis Eid joining us here via the Conquest Sense Hotline. More coming your way, being brought to you by Not Just Guns, also the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Links to all those great places on our website, wildmichiganradio.com.